Queen Victoria I decreed in 1592 that buns with crosses on them could only be sold in England on Good Friday. That's it. Hot cross buns became a tradition. Recently, I read an account of an author on NPR radio that was talking about how we need to have a new tradition. And so she came up with hot agnostic buns. Hot agnostic buns don't have a cross in icing on them. They have a big question mark in icing. And then she came up with the idea that we ought to also have hot atheist buns. Atheist buns have no icing at all. They're just plain. I guess there's nothing sweet about being an atheist. She said, that way you won't offend anybody on Easter. You can give hot cross buns to your Christian friends. You can give hot agnostic buns to your agnostic friends. And you can give hot atheist buns to your secular friends, and nobody will be offended. The cross offends people. That's what it does. Tacitus, the Roman historian, called Christianity a depraved and mischievous superstition. John Dominic Crossan, the former Catholic priest who became the co-chairman of the Jesus Seminar, considered the death of Christ an obscenity. God sacrificing his own son, he said, was a sort of transcendental child abuse. Reverend Jeffrey John, Dean of St. Albans Cathedral, said that the crucifixion of Jesus for the sins of the world is pretty repulsive as well as nonsensical. He said it made God sound like a psychopath. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, dying. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I'll set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the word of the cross, preached his word, God was pleased to save those who believe. The word of the cross, the message of the cross, is foolishness to people. It has been that way since the beginning of Christianity. This is nothing new. The word, the Greek word translated foolish, is the word we get our English word moron from. The cross is moronic. Educated people do not believe such nonsense. Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, calls it barking mad. Christianity, he says, is barking mad. Christians are a few fries short of a happy meal. And you know what? The critics are right. The critics are right unless it is true. The idea that God would kill his own son in our place is nuttier than a 5-pound fruitcake. The word of the cross cuts across the grain of all that is rational, all that is reasonable, all that makes sense, all that is normal to life in this world. A life lived for earth alone has no place for a cross. Who needs it? If all there is to life ends at death, then the cross is offensive to the reasonable mind. Paul said the word of the cross is morally insane to those who are dying. The late Billy Graham said in 1958, "I can preach anything else, and it's called popular. But when I come to the cross and the blood and the resurrection, that's the stumbling block. That's the thing people do not want to hear." He said that in 1958. This is nothing new. Skeptics abound today too. Why? Why is it that way? Why the cross? Because it means that you are dying. You cannot save yourself. It is moronic to those who are dying. Death is the one certainty we cannot escape and the one reality we try so hard to avoid facing. Look, we're all dying. Every single one of us. People are dying to go, and they go to great lengths to ignore, to deny, to avoid death. I don't know if you remember, but in the 2016 presidential race, there was a dark horse outsider, a real political candidate with a real political party. His name was Zoltan Istvan. Zoltan Istvan. He was the presidential candidate for America for the Transhumanist Party. Zoltan spent his months before the election driving around in an RV. He drove all over the country in this RV that he called the Immortality Bus. The Immortality Bus. And he was offering everywhere he went the gospel, he said, of science and technology and its ability to overcome death in our lifetime. The Transhumanist Party. Today is April Fool's Day. It's also Easter. I ask you, who's the bigger fool? Zoltan or me? Who are the bigger fools? Christ deniers or Christ followers? Will you choose to trust science and technology as the answer to death? Or the cross to solve the problem of death? Which will you trust? Either one's an act of faith. Science hasn't proved they can solve the puzzle of death. So which will you choose? Perhaps you're here today and you're convinced that the death is the end of life. That's it. Only fools would believe there is an afterlife. Well, I want to say this. He is no fool who trades a limited life for eternal life. That's no fool. If death is the end and there is no forever, then we both live limited lives, you and me. That's reality. But if death is not the end, and there is life forever, then your life is limited and mine goes on into eternity. Now who's the fool? Your grand bargain with God is a fool's errand. Jim Elliot famously said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I'll gladly trade a limited life on this earth for eternal life any day. That bargain is worth it a million times over. The cross is the door into eternal life. And Paul writes, "But to us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God." Those of us who are being saved from death, because the ones who think it's foolishness are dying, but to us who are being saved from death, it is the power of God. So we trade a limited life for eternal life at the foot of the cross. The cross is God's answer to death. Cemeteries are cold, hard places. I've stood in many cemeteries with people over the years of ministry. I've stood in those cemeteries as I buried both my mother and father, too, in recent days. They are hard, cold places. Places where we can easily begin to wonder and doubt and hurt and sorrow. But the power of the cross is greater than death. And we stake our lives on that power by faith. Even with our doubts and our sorrows. We accept by faith the power of the cross to transform death into life. 2005, 23-year-old Shin Jong-hyuk became the only person to ever escape from a total control zone internment camp in North Korea and live to tell about it. Because Shin was born in the prison, he didn't know any other life. In his mind, the entire world was Camp 14, and there were only two types of people in the world. There were prisoners, and there were guards. And he was born a prisoner, others were born guards, and that's the way it was. You never changed. If you were born a prisoner, you stayed a prisoner. If you're born a guard, you stayed a guard. That was life. He never had an interest in escaping, because he never knew there was anything outside of that world. He assumed that the outside world was the same way. It was all the same. So he had no interest in escaping. Not unlike people on this earth who know only this life and nothing about the next. But then a new prisoner named Park came into the encampment and he began to tell Shin. He began to tell him about a world outside, a world where you could travel, about going to China, about all of the things that he had experienced in the world outside, including eating boiled chicken. Now, Shin had never had chicken in his life before. He started dreaming of chicken. Wow, to be able to live in a world where he ate chicken. And so Shin and Park decided to escape. Make an attempt to escape from the internment camp. They came to the electrified fence surrounding the camp. Park threw his body onto that fence, shorted it out, and the voltage killed him instantly. Shin climbed over his body and escaped. And he lives today in South Korea, eating chicken anytime he wants. Free, because another died. That's what Jesus did for us. It's a picture of what he did for us. He died that we might live. That's the cross. He is the bridge we cross to freedom and life forever and things lots better than chicken. Everyone in life faces a moment of decision. Will you cross over and live? Or will you stay where you are because you cannot accept a world beyond the grave? This is it. You say, Dave, I just don't get it. You know, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't make sense to me. It's not rational, and I just can't wrap my head around it. It's like the art that's been going on here today. It doesn't make sense. It's abstract. I can't put it together in my head. And that's the way it is with Christianity. It all sounds so good, but it just doesn't make sense. Well, you're right. It doesn't. Until the puzzle comes together. I'm going to ask our artists to go up there and put that puzzle together the right way, so we can see the answer to death in this world. Love the exclamation point, don't you? It is finished. It's finished. The art is actually words. You may have seen, if you were close enough, what they were doing here today. It's many different words and symbols and signs. And I invite you to come up afterwards and read what the artist wrote underneath the blackening in that has taken place there. Because they are words of truth, and they are words of hope, and they are words of joy, and they are words of destruction if you do not accept the cross. When the puzzle of the cross comes together, then the words make sense. And that's the way it is in life. Pastor Lee Eklov, met him last fall. He tells a story about a previous church in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, where he was the former pastor now. And he had been gone for some time, but he heard that they were going to have a baptismal service, and they had about 35 people being baptized in church, in the lake outside in the town there. And so he was surprised to hear that there was a man named Harold Gallagher who was being baptized that day. He was shocked because Harold had been there when he was pastor. His wife was a regular in church. But Harold, once in a while he came to church, but most of the time it just wasn't important. Didn't make sense to him. Pastor Lee Eklov says he was the nicest guy in the world. He'd do anything for you. He was kind, he was gentle, but this Christianity is fine for my wife and for my kids, and he encouraged them to go to church and do what they needed to do, but it wasn't for him. But Harold was now getting baptized. Pastor Lee Eklov said, I couldn't believe it, so I had to call him up. I said, Harold, what in the world happened? What happened? And he said, well, Pastor Lee, I don't know, all these years, it just didn't make any sense. It wasn't important. And then I was going through a crisis, some issues in my life that were hard to deal with, and so I went to Pastor Jeff. And I said to him, I need some help. And he asked me if I wanted to accept Christ as my Savior. And I said, yes. And his wife Linda was with him. She was absolutely floored that he accepted Christ. And she said, Pastor Lee, I have prayed for Harold for 30 years. I never thought he would come to Christ. I prayed for him for 30 years, and now he's sitting next to me in church. He's ushering in church. You never saw a prouder usher in your whole life. And he's sitting with me in church, and we're going to be forever in heaven because he's accepted Christ after all this time. What happened? Maybe you're like Harold. It doesn't make sense. It's not important. It's okay for others. But then all of a sudden, the pieces of the puzzle kind of come together. They make sense. You get it now. And I invite you, if the pieces of that puzzle come together by the Spirit of God today, and I pray they do for each and every one of you, if they come together, then right now is the time when you can come to the cross. And I invite you to come to the cross. I say come to the cross. I don't say go to the cross. You know why? Because I can't invite you to go to the cross. The invitation can only come from somebody else who stands at the cross, at the foot of the cross, forgiven. Every single one of us has to come to the cross, and we can only invite somebody else to come to the cross if we're standing forgiven at the foot of the cross. For every single one of us is a sinner in need of God's grace. Doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've been, but you and I are all sinners. And we all come to the foot of the cross to receive God's forgiveness. So I invite you. Our singers are going to come back up right now, and they are going to lead us in a song, sing for us a song called Kneel at the Cross. And I invite you to come to the cross. I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to get up and do anything weird or anything like that. But right now, as they are singing, you can say in the privacy of your heart, yes, Lord, I come to the cross. I want to be forgiven of all my sin. I want to stand at the foot of the cross. When you do that, you're standing with me, and you're standing with everyone else who knows Jesus as their personal Savior. So come to the cross and live today.